If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. Today is Father's Day. We have a special plan for Father's Day as far as the sermon goes. So we're going to continue to take that break from our study in the Minor Prophets. We were looking at the book of Micah. Today we're looking at the book of Ezekiel. We want to talk about this man Ezekiel for a moment. So in your Bibles in Ezekiel, we're going to be looking at chapter 33 for the most part. And while you're turning to Ezekiel chapter 33, back when I was 18 years old, I actually signed up when I was 17, but by the time I left for the military, I was 18. I signed up to join the United States Army National Guard. It was the first adult decision I had ever made. And let me tell you something. I remember up at the military entrance process saying, "Oh, thank you, Curtis, because I might just go through that. Thank you." I remember at the military entrance processing station, they call it MEPS. I was up at MEPS and I remember having my head, I was sitting in a chair, I had my head down, I had my knee, I had my elbows on my knees and I was holding my head and I remember going, "God, what am I doing?" And I was like, wow. I was so excited to be there, but I was also so scared out of the seat of my pants. Oh my goodness. But let me tell you, when I joined the military, I had one semester of college underneath of me. And I was talking to a guy that I had met in college, and he was like, "Oh, I'm in the Army National Guard, and we have a great time, and you should join, and you want to be a 19 Delta Cavalry Scout." And I said, "Man, everything you're saying sounds like a lot of fun." Remember, I was 18, right? Young and stupid. Although joining the military was not a stupid decision. It was a very important decision, and I'm glad God had me do that. But so I went to his recruiter. He gives me the number of his recruiter. And I go to his recruiter, and I say, "Hi, my name's Ben Hartley. I want to be a 19 Delta Cavalry Scout." He's like, "Okay." My first 3 years of the military, I was a 19 Delta Cavalry Scout. My second 3 years, they remobilized us and changed us, and we had to get retrained, and I became an infantry soldier. 11 Bravo. Some of you might know what that means, 11 Bravo. It's infantry soldier. And I'm very proud of that as well. But my first 3 years, I was a cavalry scout. Some of you may be like, "I don't know what a cavalry scout." Well, first of all, infantry, if you don't understand what the infantry is, okay, these are the guys that see the enemy and run towards them. That's the infantry. That was my last 3 years. A cavalry scout is different. A cavalry scout is someone that sneaks behind the enemy lines, goes deep behind enemy lines, and their job is to watch and then to be able to warn. So you have a radio system and you call back, and I might be out there and I'm observing something, and I might call back and say, "Hey, I've got 10 tanks and 3 Humvees heading northeast, about 15 miles per hour," something like that. I might report back. Of course, then I tell them, "Send this kind of round at this exact grid coordinate." Now that's kind of scary, because the next thing you know, over your ears, right, over your head, over your ears, you hear this, right? You call for mortar fire, and you tell them exactly what kind of mortar rounds you want sent to an exact coordinate. Now, understand something. If my coordinates that I give them are off, it could be me that goes boom, right? That's a 19 Delta Cav Scout. We are deep behind enemy lines. I remember somewhere in basic training, I went to basic training in peace. In the middle of my basic training, war was declared. Some of you may remember that's back in 1990. That's when we went to war with Iraq, and we had Operation Desert Shield, and then that operation became Operation Desert Storm. It went from readiness for the war to the actual war, which was called Desert Storm. So in the middle of my training, of course, every day thereafter, "Men, get up, it's time to die for your country." And that was my basic training as I prepared to go behind enemy lines. Now, thank God I got home 13 days after getting out of basic training, and out of my initial training. The war was over. Remember, that was a 45-day war. And so I'm thankful for that. However, I want to tell you this, that training was extremely difficult. I've never been so tired, so exhausted, so sleep-deprived. I've never had to study so hard as I did during that time. And I just want to say this, we should probably be studying the Word of God even harder than that, as we prepare for a war that we're in. However, my job was the job of a cavalry scout, to go behind enemy lines and to sneak and to peek. Now, I bring that up for a reason. You're going to want to pay attention to today's lesson, because you'll understand how important it is to be able to be a watcher and a warner. And that's what a watchman does. I've titled today's sermon, Profile of a Watchman. Babylon's destruction of Jerusalem took place in three different sieges. There were stages, and they were sieges, right? You know, a siege is when the military comes up and surrounds a city, and they cut off all their water supply, and they cut off all their food supply, and they cut off everything, and so that everything in the city, when the water's out, when the food's out, they start to starve to death. Of course, then disease pops in, and then they start dying, and it makes it easier for them to take over the city. All right, so that's a siege. I'm sure we all know what a siege is. Well, Babylon's takeover of Judah, specifically the city of Jerusalem, took place in three sieges. The first of those sieges took place in 606 BC. And at that point in time, many of the youth were taken into captivity. Now, we know some of those youth. I know we're all familiar with the story of Daniel. If you're not, read the book of Daniel. And in the book of Daniel, you'll not only learn about Daniel, but you'll learn about these three other youth that were taken during this first siege by the Babylonians, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so in that first siege, many of the youth were taken. In the second siege, which took place in 597 BC, it took King Jehoiakim, it took the royal kingdom into captivity, and they also took this man among all the many others that they took. They took this man named Ezekiel, and Ezekiel's book is what we're studying out of this morning. That being said, there was a third siege, and that third siege takes place in 588 BC. In 588 BC, the city of Jerusalem was utterly destroyed, as other prophets had prophesied, and the temple was completely destroyed. And in Ezekiel's prophecy, remember, he's already been taken into captivity. In his prophecy, he speaks of this third and final siege. In Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 17, this is the word of God to Ezekiel. It says, "Son of man," God says, "Hey, son of man," he's speaking to Ezekiel, "son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me." God had called Ezekiel to be a watchman, and he called him to warn the people of the impending judgment of the Babylonians that was upon them. He was called to be a watchman. And I ask this question, and that's what our sermon is about today. Dads, fathers, is that not what you and I, as the heads of our home, have been called to be? Watchmen for our family? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be a watchman in my home. I've not always been the greatest watchman. Nevertheless, you've given that task to me and to the fathers in this room. And I pray, God, that today we would be drawn closer to you in such a way that would cause us to be maybe even more faithful watchmen than we have been. More faithful to you, so that we can be more faithful to our spouses, to our children, and even to those that live around us in our neighborhoods and our workplaces, Lord. Lord, some of us have children that have grown up and have moved out of the home. Nevertheless, we are still called fathers, and they are still called our children. So I pray, God, that we would continue to prepare and to study and to work to be the watchmen you've called us to be. And we say this and ask this and beg you, Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. All right, so if you would, go ahead and look at Ezekiel chapter 33. We're going to look, first of all, at the definition of a watchman. What is a watchman? Now, very simply put, a watchman watches. Huh? Right? Now, that's profound. A watchman watches. But he needs to be doing something else other than watching. You see, what he watches, much like the Cav Scout that I was, the job is to watch and then to warn. And that's what we're going to see Ezekiel being told to do here in chapter 33, verses 1 through 7. It says, "Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, verse 3, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people. Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. Verse 5, he heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman," now pay attention, fathers, "but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take away any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity." Remember what iniquity is. Iniquity is sin for the sake of sinning. "He is taken away in his own iniquity. But his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man," speaking to Ezekiel, "I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me." First and foremost, you'll notice in that passage of Scripture that Ezekiel was called to be a watchman, and that meant he was to watch. He was to watch in case the enemy was coming so that he could warn. Did you see who he was told to warn? The children of his people, Israel. Did you see that? Fathers, you get where I'm going? We are called to be watchmen over the children of our people, which is the kids living in our house, the kids that we've raised, the family that God has given to us. First and foremost, we must be watchers. Ezekiel's job was to watch. Now, I remember in the war on terrorism that began after 9/11. I remember in the war on terrorism, we had a whole lot of people voicing their opinions. Remember all that? And many of those opinions that were voiced the loudest were, "Oh, we shouldn't go to war. We shouldn't start a war with these other people." Now, I say that to say this. Do you remember? We were already at war. In fact, we had been at war with terrorists for years and years and years. The problem is we weren't fighting the war. Fathers, do you understand that we are at war every day? You were at war before you got married. You were at war before you had children. You are certainly still at war today. And we have a job to do as fathers, as husbands, as men who are the head of our homes. We have a job to watch. We have a job to watch because the enemy is certainly coming in. Matthew chapter 13, verse 20 and 21 says, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while," he endures for a while, "for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended." In other words, here's a man, let's say, who has heard the message of Jesus Christ and has decided to be a follower of Christ. Now, very clearly, this teaches that this person is not a Christian. They just found a religion, they decided to follow it, and in this case, that Jesus thing sounds good. I'll start going to church and I'll start following God. Absent of having received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they're going through the motions. They're going to church and going, "This sounds good. I think I'll try this out." But what happens? What happens when we begin to follow the one true God? Trials come. Jesus Christ warned himself. He said, hey, if the world hates you, it hated me first. You will have trials. You will have tribulation. And so this man begins to follow God and instantly is confronted with persecution and tribulation because of his faith. What's the point? The point that I'm showing us here is the very fact that as soon as you become a Christian, you will have trouble. You are at war. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at war. Not with each other. We are at war, though. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." That's each other. The Bible says we are not at war with each other. You ever get angry at each other? Someone ever tick you off? Remember this verse. We're not at war with each other. We're not at war with flesh and blood. People are not the problem. What's the problem? Continuing in the verse. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." We don't wrestle each other. Our war is not with each other. It's not even ready. Listen, it's not even with the unsaved people of this world. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. Our war is against Satan. Our war is against this world that is controlled by Satan. Our war is with our own flesh, our flesh, because our flesh is the sin nature. That's who we wrestle with. That's who our war is with. But we must remember this. Listen, we are at war. And if you're not fighting it, listen, you're losing it. Amen? Somewhere? If we are not fighting the war that we are in, we're losing it. So listen, folks, a watchman's primary job is to watch. But that's not enough. You see, a watchman has, as part of his job to watch, he has the responsibility, he has the duty of warning. Remember verse 3. Of Ezekiel 33, it says, "If when he seeth the sword," who's he? The watchman. "If when the watchman seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people." A watchman has two jobs, to watch and to warn. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 to 21 says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and your soul." That is your innermost being. Your soul is who you are. Remember, our flesh will one day die. Thank God for that. Our flesh hurts. Our flesh suffers. There is pain in our flesh. Thank God we will one day be loosed of our flesh. But who we are is not our flesh any more than the water is this bottle. The water is the water in the bottle. Who we are as people is not our flesh. The flesh is simply a container. And what's my point there? One day we will lose this flesh. Who we are is our innermost being. It says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these words, my words, in your heart and your soul." It's not enough just to hear them, folks. It's not enough just to skim through the Bible, check it off on your daily routine. Well, I read today. Well, I went to church today. God says, I want my words to be in your heart and in your innermost being. And then he says, "And bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes." You know what frontlets are, right? A horse will have frontlets on his eyes to keep the focus off of everything that could possibly distract the horse. And that way the horse is focused on straight in front of him. God says, my word should be as frontlets to your eyes. There's where your focus is. Focus on God. Focus on Jesus. Focus on the word of God. Remember, Jesus Christ is the living word, and the written word, right, is Jesus Christ, John 1:1. God says here, let my word be the frontlets between your eyes. Verse 19, and ye shall teach them your children. Watchmen are teachers. They're warners. And we warn by teaching the word of God. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. I wonder how many of us would say that describes our homes. Fathers, how many of us would say that describes our homes? That the primary focus of our home is to be consistently talking about God and God's word. Or do we often sit more time, spend time watching TV or the latest athletic event that's on TV? Where's our focus? Maybe we need to get frontlets put on. Verse 20, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and, you ready, fathers? And the days of your children. You want to give your kids long life? Be a watchman. And as a watchman, you have a job of watching for danger and warning. And we warn by giving God's word. And the days of your children will be multiplied, it says, in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Now, specifically, this verse is talking to the Jews. And it's referring to the promised land that God has promised to the future generations of the Jews. That's the historical application. But certainly there is application to us, a devotional application as fathers. We have work to do. We've got to watch for the danger, and then we need to warn our families. We need to raise up our families so that they see the danger for themselves and are able to refer to God's word for their safety. That we actually manage to create little frontlets for our children's eyes, so their focus is on God's word. So they're protected from all the distractions around them. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 2 puts it this way. My son, forget not my lie, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Why? For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Fathers, you want to give your kids long life? There's the answer. Put the focus on Jesus Christ. Put the focus on God's word. Talk about them throughout the day, when you wake up, when you lie down, all through the day. Is that what our focus is on in our homes? Would that describe your home? Does that describe my home? I hope it does, and if it doesn't, I hope that today would be an encouragement, fathers, that we would do our job as watchmen that we've been called to do, because we've been called to be the heads of our home. Our job is to watch, and our job is to warn. And by doing so, the Bible tells us that it will give our kids long life. Now, let me ask this question. What could be longer than life eternal in heaven? There is nothing longer than that. Fathers, are you raising your children so that their focus is on Jesus Christ? Now I look out and I see a lot of you are fathers of children that have grown up and they've got their own children now. Are you nonetheless the father? Are you not still daddy? We still have a role to be watchmen. Ephesians 6, chapter 4 says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. You see the colon? Does everybody see the colon? We've talked a great deal about that colon, haven't we? We studied a lot when we had that series of messages on how to study the Bible. You want to pay attention to the colon. It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, colon. In other words, everything I'm about to say after this colon is going to further describe or define what came before the colon. So watch what comes after the colon. But, in other words, there's a contrast here. There's this, and there's this. Fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but instead of raising them in that kind of a home, it says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Listen, fathers, if we're not teaching our children about Jesus Christ, if we're not raising them up in church where they're under the sound teaching of the Word of God, where you are under the sound teaching of the Word of God, if we're not raising our homes like that, do you understand what the contrast is? You're raising your family in wrath. You see, not following God's word has a price to pay. There's a price to pay. There's STDs for not following God's word when it comes to matters of sexuality. There's ending up in the wrong place. Can't tell you how many friends I've had from high school who have been killed because they were not raised in a home that taught them, you probably should stay away from the bars. I've had multiple friends from high school who were shot to death in a bar because of some stupid bar fight. Had they been raised not to be in bars, they wouldn't have been there for the problem. You see, fathers, we're either raising our children to wrath, which includes the judgment of God, or we're raising our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Now, I didn't make that up. Read the verse. I didn't put the colon there. God did. Men, we've been called to be watchmen. The duties of a watchman are to watch and to warn. But when it comes to the call to be a watchman, we got to be able to hear it. Can you hear the call, men, to be the heads of your home? To be the watchman to your wife, to your children? Can you hear the call? Listen, I got my cell phone up here with me today. I don't usually bring that. I got my phone on airplane mode. Got my phone on airplane mode. That way it doesn't ring during church. I'm always afraid. Usually I have my phone back there, but I just thought I'd have it here as a silly little illustration. There's my phone. Got my phone with me. You know, this thing goes off all the time. You know how I know it goes off? Because it rings. I can hear it. Even when I've got it on vibration, you hear the vibration. Right? You all know what I'm talking about. You can hear that vibration. Here's my point. When a call is made, it's meant to be heard. We have to be able to hear the call on our lives, men. Fathers, do you hear the call of God on your life to be a watchman to your family? Ezekiel chapter 3. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the beginning of Ezekiel. There in chapter 3, verse 10. It says, moreover, he said unto me, God said unto Ezekiel, son of man, all of my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, you ready? And hear with thine ears. God said to Ezekiel, listen, I'm calling you to be a watchman. Hear me. Hear me. Now, think about this. Hearing does not require any specific special skill. Right? Now I know as I'm getting older, I'm losing my hearing, especially in my right ear. It gives me an excuse not to listen when I don't really feel like listening, right? Amen? And ladies, don't tell me you don't do the same thing. I'm just teasing. Well, listen, to hear doesn't require special skill. God gave us ears so we could hear. It's not like I got to go out and practice hearing. But you know what we have to do? We do need to practice listening, don't we? We do need to practice listening. God says to Ezekiel, hear with your ears. You know what comes between your ears? A brain is in there somewhere. Right? God tells Ezekiel, hear me. But hearing that doesn't require special skill, but listening does require a special skill. And it requires you to be trained. And the way you train to listen is to force yourself to pay attention and start doing what you're being told. That's listening. You see, listening requires the intent to obey, the intent to follow. Men, we're not really good at following instructions, are we? Like, you got to put your kid's bike together or Christmas present together. We take those instructions, we just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Right? We don't like to listen all the time, do we? But listen, it goes a lot better when you follow the instructions. I've learned that firsthand. Come on, fathers, how many have learned the same thing? Come on. Come on. But Jeremy, never? You always read the instructions? I called him out. We don't always read the instructions, folks. God gave us an instruction manual. It's right here. Are you listening? You can't listen if you're not reading. It's like taking the instruction manual, putting it off the side. Your little son or daughter goes riding off on their brand new bike, and the wheel falls off. Right? That's raising our kids to wrath instead of in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ. James 1:22, and you'll see this in our bulletin because it's our theme verse for the year. It says, be ye doers of the word. Doers of the word. Active listening skills. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I wonder why we spend so little time in our homes, so little time with our families, so little time with our neighbors, our coworkers. Why is it that we spend so little time with those around us, specifically our families, our children? Why is it we spend so little time speaking to them, warning them with the Word of God? I wonder if it's maybe because we can't hear. Let me give you an example. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. This is Jesus. He's walking around, right? When Jesus walked around, what followed him, everybody? Crowds of people, right? If Jesus was walking around, crowds of people were following him. Verse 17 of chapter 9 in Mark, it says, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. The boy couldn't speak. He couldn't speak. And the question is, why couldn't he speak? And the guy brings his son to Jesus, and he's like, you know, heal my boy. He has a dumb spirit. He can't speak. Verse 25 gives us the answer. We skip down a few verses. We go to Mark chapter 9, verse 25. It says, when Jesus saw the people come running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. In other words, the boy had a satanic spirit in him. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou, you ready? Dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him. And enter no more into him. What was the boy's problem? Why could the boy not speak? The boy couldn't speak because he couldn't hear. Fathers, are you listening? I wonder if the reason why we don't speak to those around us and warn them about judgment, about wrath, about the spiritual warfare that we are in, I wonder if we don't speak the truth of the Word of God because we can't even hear it. Husbands, fathers, daddy, listen up. Because we've been called to by God Himself. How do I know we've been called? to be watchmen because He gave you children. He gave you a spouse. And to all of us, moms, grandparents, males, females, boys, girls, we've all been called to be watchmen. We're in a spiritual battle. There's a war going on around us. Open up our eyes. We need to be God's warning, as He asked Ezekiel to be, to the children of Israel. You see, the boy could not speak because he could not hear. Fathers, can we hear? Are we listening with active intent? Intent to obey? Romans 10:14 says, "How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" This isn't simply talking about a pastor standing in a pulpit. It's talking about anyone who will go and teach the Word of God to others. God says in His Word, how are they supposed to come to know Me as their Savior? How are they supposed to be saved from the danger that is to come if someone's not telling them? You see, we've all been called to be watchmen. All of us. Well, just like in the military, for me to be a cavalry scout, for me to become that soldier that was going to be behind enemy lines, watching, and then calling back to home base and warning, in order for that, I required intensive training. Let me tell you, it's no different to be a watchman in God's army. It's no different for you as a watchman in God's army. There's preparation. Watch the preparation. Ezekiel chapter 3. Look at verses 1 through 3. "Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest." Eat what? Eat this roll. Now, today, I saw Chris bring in cinnamon rolls for Sunday school. I didn't get one. He brought one out on a plate and gave it to Zach. I didn't get one. Now, all I'm really trying to say here is, he told me I could go back and get one. He said there's more back there. Yeah, I'd go back and get one. Zach, you're like up here on Chris's scale. Me, I'm not sure where I am. Chris, I love you. Still. Thanks for nothing. but seriously, this is not a cinnamon roll. God does not call down to Ezekiel and say, "Hey, buddy, eat the cinnamon roll I provided for you." It's not a dinner roll either. God calls to Ezekiel and He says, "Eat this roll and go and speak unto the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth and He caused me to eat that roll. That roll was a scroll, a physical scroll that the words of God had been written on. It was a roll of Scripture. You know, they didn't have books like this. They had parchments that were rolled up in a scroll. And God says, "Eat it. Eat My words." Verse 3, "And He said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels, your innermost being." He says, "Fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee." Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Listen, God's word is meant to be ingested. It's meant to be consumed. And as it is ingested, as it is consumed, it's meant to be internalized so that it changes our lives. Listen, if we are reading the Word of God and it's not changing your life, you're not consuming it. You're not ingesting it. You're not listening to it. You're just reading it. And you know I've said it a billion times in the 3 years I've been here, and I'll say it a billion times more. Nowhere in Scripture are we ever told to read the Word of God. We're told to study to show ourselves approved. Ezekiel's told to physically ingest the Word of God. We're supposed to let it internalize and change our lives. Dads, our children go out into the world's system every day. Right now, they got a sort of break. A sort of break. They step out of your house, they're still in the world system. I wonder what they're in when they're in our houses. Is the world system in our homes, dads? I know this, when they step out of our homes, they're in the world system. And when they step into school, they're in the pit of hell of the world system. Because our school systems in America are driven with an agenda. And they mask it with education. And that agenda is pride in oneself. That agenda is pride in the other sense of the word. That agenda is not what God's word wants. And my question again then is, fathers, are we preparing our children for that war, for that spiritual battle? Is if we're not preparing them in our homes, we're preparing them for failure. We're preparing them for wrath outside of our homes. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility as watchmen. Look at verses 4 through 6 of Ezekiel chapter 3. In verses 4 through 6 it says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them, for thou art not sent to a people of strange speech and of an hard language, but to the house of Israel." God says to Ezekiel, I'm not sending you to people you can't understand. I'm not sending you to people to speak to them that can't understand what you're saying. I'm not sending you to some strangers that might be a little scary to you. He says, I'm sending you to your own children, the children of your people. Did you hear that? Verse 6, not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened, they would have listened to me. Skipping the verses between 6 and 11, understand something that God tells Ezekiel, you're going to go speak to your own people, a people that understand your language, a people who claim to be worshiping the same God as you, and they're not going to listen to you. Now that's not part of our lesson for today. So I'm skipping ahead to verse 11. It says, and go get thee to them of the captivity. Who is the responsibility of Ezekiel's watchmen? Ezekiel's been called to be a watchman. Who is he responsible for? His people. The children of his people. That's who he's been called to be a watchman. Unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, whether they listen or not. Dads, we have a responsibility. It's to our people. It's to our people. Now, a study through Scripture will show us very clearly that that's to everyone we come in contact with. We learn that in the story of the prodigal son. Not the prodigal son. Chris, help me out. What am I missing? He just slipped my mind. Thank you. We learned that in the story of the Good Samaritan. My mind was a blank. We learn that in the story of the Good Samaritan. Who is our neighbor? It's anybody and everybody that comes in contact with us. That's our neighbor. That's who we're responsible for. But listen, dads, are we not most responsible for our own home, our own people, our children? We've been called to be watchmen. Let me close with this. Psalm 119, verse 103 to 105. If you know anything about Psalm 119, first of all, it's the very absolute middle of your Bible. With the exception of three verses in Psalm 119, I think there's 167 verses, if I remember correctly, in the book of in Psalm 119. And with the exception of three of those verses, every verse mentions the Word of God. Verse 103 to 105 says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding." Is that what we're trying to give our kids? Are we giving them a warning? "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Dads, we have work to do. And there's preparation for that work. The preparation for that work is to ingest the Word of God. That's why I encourage us week after week after week to be here on Wednesday nights, where we internalize the Word of God. That's why I encourage us week after week after week to be faithful to church on Sunday mornings, because we come here and we internalize, we ingest, we consume the Word of God. And that's why I encourage you consistently to be daily in the Word of God, to be reading the Bible yourself, and to be studying it, internalizing it, consuming it, ingesting it. Because we cannot speak if we cannot hear. Dads, we have preparation to do, because we've been called to be watchmen. And as watchmen, we need to watch and warn. Let's pray.